streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call
me home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is May 4th, 2011. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Miss Barbara Hoffmeister, all the way coming to us from Germany. And we're going to hear, she's an internationally renowned speaker, expert on the topic of human growth. And she's spoken to thousands of people and helped and taught them how to get their dreams back, encouraged them to make them come true. So we're going to hear a lot of positive information tonight from Barbara. And we also want to wish all the mothers out there this coming weekend a happy Mother's Day. As you know, we won't be here until next Wednesday night, so we do want to wish everyone a happy Mother's Day. And I'm going to go ahead and welcome Boyd to the show.
Yes, I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight to the show, like you always do every Wednesday night. And like my missus said, we got a great, great show for you tonight, all the way from Germany. And without further ado, we would like to pass the mic to Ms. Barbara to formally introduce herself.
Hello?
You're on, Barbara.
Oh, hi. Hi, sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, I will do that. Well, as they already said, my name is Barbara Hoffmeister. I'm calling in from Germany, and here it's just 5:30 in the morning, and I haven't gone to bed because I had another radio show on at 3. So
wow.
I might be a little befuddled, but it's just getting daylight here, and I can see a bit of fog over the lake that is right next to my house.
Oh, sounds pretty.
So, it is very pretty. It's very pretty, especially at this time of year when everything is blossoming, and it's very, very nice. Well, I want to just actually talk a little bit about my background or where I come from. I was born in former communist Germany, and I had to experience firsthand what it's like to live in adverse circumstances. Why? Because when I was 8, I mean, my childhood in communist Germany was actually very idyllic. It was not difficult for me as a child at all because there were no cars. My mom was at home. We had our own house. You know, I was the first grandchild in the family, so everybody spoiled me rotten. And for me, life was perfect. But one day my father decided that for him it was not perfect at all, quite the contrary, because communist regime did not allow entrepreneurship. And my father was an entrepreneur by heart. So, you know, they gave him a very hard time, took his passport away so he couldn't go anywhere. And he decided it's time to leave. It's getting worse and not better. And from one day to the next, life changed 100% or 360 degrees or whatever. It really was a massive difference for me as a child, because from being, you know, living in the countryside and being really well taken care of, on the next day we were in Western Germany. We had absolutely nothing except the clothes on our backs.
Wow.
And we were in a big city. I had no friends, no family members, and my parents worked day and night, you know, trying to make back what they left behind. We lived in a very small attic room, and, it was a nightmare. For me as a child, it was a nightmare, and I learned several lessons there. One was that freedom isn't free. You do have to make some sacrifices to actually get it. And, you know, today, because we all have freedom, we tend to forget that you know, not everything is free, and you do have to take some action and actually do something about
mm-hmm.
the situation. And it is in our hands to make changes. It is in our power to do that, to shift our life, to turn our life around. We will talk about that. And the second was that I made a decision in those days, and that was that when I'm old enough, I'm going to live my life my way, and I'm
right.
going to live my own dreams, because I saw that my father was living, you know, he was living into his dream. I mean, he did it for a reason. He wanted to be a successful entrepreneur. He wanted to be free to do that, and he did eventually. But I saw him struggle for so many years and work 16 hours, 17, 18 hours a day, 6 days a week, and weekends, you know, he did paperwork and stuff, and it was, you know, he was not really a family man anymore because he had no time. And but he was happy with it. And one day, I remember I was 19, and I came, my father had given me his car, and I came from a disco, you know, it was Sunday morning or Saturday morning, and it was 4:30 in the morning or something. And my father was having breakfast, and I just couldn't, you know, he looked so cheerful and happy, and I just, you know, I couldn't understand how anybody that has to go to work at such crazy hours could be so cheerful. So I asked him, and he looked up and he said to me, "Barbara, you don't understand. My work is my hobby. I look forward to the day." And I thought, wow, what a concept. So, yeah, so I learned that at a very young age. And as painful as it was in the beginning, it was a fantastic lesson for life, definitely. So that was, you know, who made me into the free spirit that I still am today. And still my number one value is freedom. My core value for my life, my guiding light is freedom. So that stayed with me throughout the whole of my life. And I was abused as a child, and I was raped at 16, and that turned me into a very insecure young woman. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners can relate to that, because when you have low self-esteem, you deal with it in different ways, but the result is normally the same. In my case, I became very cocky. I built this many layers of protection around myself, you know, that I thought mm-hmm. was protection. And I reacted to everything. And when people paid me a compliment, for instance, I took it as an insult. I took it as they are making fun of me or they are trying to insult me. And I could not open my arms and just say thank you, you know, and take it in. I had to learn that over time. And I noticed that so many people build their own Berlin walls around them, you know, and they think that it will help them, you know, become more secure, but it does exactly the opposite. The more layers of protection we build around us, the more unreal we become, so the more insecure our life becomes, because when we let our core come out, the core of our being, this is when we are, that when we become love, because that is what our core is. It is unconditional love. You know, there is no judgment there. There is no need to be anything or do anything. You just are, and you are perfect. So every one of us is perfect as we are, deep down inside of us. We have that core of love, and this is when we are part of the oneness that many people talk about. This is when we are part of the creation, and we all are. So that I had to learn that the hard way. It took me many years, but fortunately, in 1978, a friend gave me a book by Dr. Wayne Dyer, and that really got me started, you know. But my first reaction to that, Lucinda, was a self-help book. That's what it said on the back.
Right.
I don't need a self-help book. You know, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't need that. I put it on my bookshelf. I didn't want to read it. And then one day I had nothing else to read, and I started reading, and I became really interested because it was as if Dr. Dyer was talking to me directly. And I thought, wow, you know, how does he know so much about me?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, yeah, it's not that he's talking to me. There is many people in the world that have similar challenges. And, yeah, so he got me, I mean, my friend gave me the book, got me on the journey, and Dr. Zaya's words woke me up and made me shift, made me go into self-healing mode, and, yeah, over time. And I haven't stopped until today. That's something I can say. Still, after 33 years, I go to seminars, I go to workshops, I fly around the globe, literally. I've already been in upstate New York this year in February and in March in the UK to go to retreats or go to seminars that I find interesting and where I believe that I can still learn something. So it's a never-ending journey. It's very inspiring and it's very exciting. I mean, otherwise I wouldn't stay up all night to do a radio show, you know, if I wasn't excited about what I'm doing.
Right. We appreciate you coming on. And again, that book that you were talking about by Dr. Wayne Dyer is called Your Erroneous Zones, mm-hmm. if anyone's interested in that. It was a long time ago, 1978. So I don't know when he wrote it, but I'm sure everything in it still pertains to someone today.
Oh, it does for sure. I still have it. It's very tattered because I carried it around with me for several years. But it's really still valuable, just as valuable as it was then, you know, because these are all fundamental things. It's not something totally new. You know, when The Secret came out, it was like, oh, wow, a secret that nobody has talked about for hundreds of years is not really right, you know, okay, they brought it to the awareness of the general public, which is fantastic, but it's always been there. These are fundamental things. What we focus on expands. So when mm-hmm. we put our focus on negative things, on things that we don't want, and, you know, I've heard people, I mean, coaching clients, they say, yeah, but I don't do that. I said, you've been talking about the problems you are having with finances for the last half hour, or you've been talking about the problem you have with your relationship for the last half an hour. So this is where your focus is. This is where your attention is on what isn't working.
Right.
So we do that very frequently. You know, it seems to have become second nature these days.
Is that good for us, Barbara, to talk about? I mean, obviously, sometimes we do need to talk about problems to be able to get through them or overcome, but to continuously talk about it, I mean, there's people that will talk to just anybody and everybody about the same thing over and over and over, and I'm sure that's not good.
No, because you give much too much attention, much too much energy to the problem, but you can't get yourself out of a situation with the same kind of thinking that got you into this situation in the first place. So when we focus on the problem, and as I said, and as you agreed with, many people do, they moan and groan about things again and again and again. And I understand when there is a dire situation, for instance, that you don't know how to pay your mortgage and you might lose your house, you know, yeah, that's a dire situation. And obviously you're worried about it. But I was talking to someone last week, and she said worry. I mean, I always say worry is the most useless emotion on the planet because we are worrying about something that might happen in the future, but it might just as well not happen, you know. So we are just worried.
Right.
Pretty useless. Doesn't help us at all. But she said worry is praying for a problem, and that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
It is praying for a problem because you are talking about a problem, and you are making that problem bigger and bigger. The more you talk about it, the more attention you give it, the more energy you give it, the stronger it is anchored within you, so
mm-hmm.
the fear will get stronger. It's good to talk about it once, let's say with your best friend, or if it's something else, maybe with a therapist or with your coach or with your husband, but you know, not like mull it over in your head when you're not talking, and when you are talking, you talk about it. That will definitely not help at all. On the contrary, you are attracting more of it because that's what you're focusing on.
Right. And how are some ways that people can maybe stop thinking or worrying about a certain situation and just move on and put their energy into something more positive.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the way I do it is I actually look at the worst case scenario. When I feel worry, when I feel, you know, bad situations arising and I don't know how I will solve it, then I look at the worst case scenario. What is the worst that can happen if everything goes wrong? I mean, if really nothing that I try works, what's the worst that can happen? And would I survive it if it would happen? And it's not really likely that everything would go wrong, right?
Right.
But I imagine really the very worst case. And until today, I always came to the conclusion that I will survive it, that I will, yeah, hurt financially or hurt emotionally or hurt physically, but I will survive it somehow. And then I can take my focus away from it because I know I'm going to survive it. It's not pleasant, but, you know, I will get through it. And knowing that, now I focus consciously on what I do want, you know, away from
right.
the problem, because I know I will overcome it. Not easy, maybe, but I will overcome it. And then I focus on exactly the opposite. What is the best case scenario? If I turn this whole situation totally around, what do I really want? What is the best case scenario that can happen, you know, if everything works to perfection, which is also not likely to happen, but it's much more fun to focus on that. You know,
right.
I mean, this is much more joy, and you can actually paint the picture of the best case scenario and really paint it as vividly as you can and focus on that. What do I really want? It's, you know, a big problem that I see in the world is that most cases and most people don't even know really what they want. They can tell
right.
you offhand very quickly what they don't want. But very few people can actually tell you what they want and where they want to take their life.
I think a lot of people are afraid to, they're so much into believing that they're going to fail that they're afraid to
mm-hmm.
say or really act towards what they really want out of life.
That is unfortunately true, yeah. Because, you know, if I don't have high expectations, then I can't be disappointed.
Right.
But
that's pretty sad.
That
but
is sad.
I know we've all done it at one time or another, I think. And,
yeah,
and
of course.
Right. Boyd?
Yeah,
do you have any comments, Boyd?
yeah, I just wanted Ms. Barber to let all the viewers know where to pick our book up at and give them your website.
Okay. Oh, well, people can find me at BarbaraHoffmeister.com. That's Barbara Hoffmeister with one F, HOFMEISTER.com. That's my hub site. And from there, you can find me. You can find my YouTube channel. You can find my Blog Talk radio station. I do interviews once a week on Tuesdays. And you can find me on Facebook and on Twitter and in all the places, you know. You can find my book website and all the things that we do online. And also check out my website or check out what other people are saying about the book. You know, the book is called To Be or Not To Be, The Choice Is Yours. Why? Because it really is in our hands. We really have the choice to be or not to be. And way too many people are not being, you know. They live a miserable life thinking that this is how it is for them, you know. But it doesn't have to stay like that. So I really recommend that you get the book, invest the $12 or $15, however much it is on Amazon, and, you know, make this mm-hmm. investment of four Starbucks coffees in yourself.
Right.
And really, because it is a very practical guidebook, it is not just a reading book. It is a real practical guide, a program that will take you from where you are today. It will pick anybody up wherever they are. Why? Because you are giving yourself the answers. It guides you through, I give you the questions and I give you the techniques that will help people to become, first of all, clear on where they want to go. The first chapter is called Start with the End in Mind. Why? Because Before you can walk anywhere, before you can get anywhere in your life, you need to know where you are going. You need to become clear on that. And this is what we are first working on. Why are you here? What is your purpose on this planet? Who do you want to become while you are here? Because when you are clear on that, when you know who you want to become, you know, because we are human becomings, right? We are not mm-hmm. human havings. Because
right.
sometimes people mistake that and they say, when I have this, I will be happy. When I have that, I will be happy. No. Happiness is right now, this moment, you know, at 5:45 or 5:50 in the morning, I can decide to be happy. I'm happy because I'm with you, you know, I'm spending time with like-minded people, and that's wonderful. So that I make a decision that makes me happy. So I'm happy that I'm up and about and I'm talking to you. And for everybody, that's the same. You can make a decision right this moment that I am happy. I see all the beauty around me. I see that, you know, whatever you see in that moment, see the good things that already are in your life. And this is when more of the good will come, because you start to focus on all the good stuff. And in the beginning, you have to make it a habit, you know. My coaching clients, I ask them in the first, you know, in the beginning when they're working with me, if I notice that they don't have a positive outlook to life and that they focus too much on, you know, the bad stuff that's happening, then I ask them, every night before you go to sleep, write me an email and tell me what you are grateful for in that day. And every morning before you wake up, before you get out of bed, give, you know, every night give thanks and every morning give thanks. And this is when you start looking for the good. And because you know you are held accountable for finding something every day, and even on the bad days. And it makes you appreciate the small things. You know, on bad days, we don't have that much to give thanks for, maybe, or we feel we don't. But we can still hear the birds sing. We can still see a child laugh, you know. We can see an old couple holding hands in the street, that kind of thing. And I give thanks for every little thing, every little thing. Yesterday, I had a, you know, very unpleasant meeting at my lawyer's. And, yeah, okay, so that was not very nice. And then I went to a shop. I bought myself something that I wanted to buy a couple of weeks ago, and I finally got it. And I was celebrating. You know, I was celebrating that it was still there, that I could finally get it. And I was so happy when I drove home that, you know, I made myself that little gift. And then I saw a deer walk across the road where I was driving, because I live in a very rural area. And that made me so happy, you know. I gave thanks for seeing that beautiful animal being, you know, so close and so out in the open, and so on and so on, you know. So it's not something, it doesn't have to be anything big. We can start with small things, and the small things lead to the bigger things, because our attitude does. Our attitude shifts.
Right, we're thinking more of what we're thankful for, and then we're able to see more mm-hmm. of the little things, because our mind is open to being grateful or being thankful for the simple things.
Exactly, and also we become more humble, you know, because we're not expecting the gold to shower from heaven, you know. We expect more things, And they are there every single day, you know. They are there every single day. We can see them all around us. And when we start opening our eyes and our heart for this type of thing, really our whole being changes. And I've experienced it myself years ago. My first coach told me that. He said, do that every night. Send me that email in the first few days. I said, yeah, okay, I give thanks anyway. Not on a daily basis, but I did it anyway already for some time. And he said to me the next time we met, he said, hey, we had a commitment, didn't we? We had an agreement. And I said, yeah, but what's the big thing, you know?
Yeah.
And he said, well, I mean, you said that you were going to do it, so why aren't you? And I thought, okay. big man, you know, I'm going to do it. And first, I did it out of stubbornness, you know, more than anything else. But I'm forever grateful for that little bit of advice, because I'm keeping it up until today. And now it's so automatic that whenever I notice anything that is beautiful, I notice anything that makes me feel nice, I give thanks immediately, there and then. And many times I do it publicly, you know, like I had a friend here yesterday that helped me build a new cupboard in my entrance area, because I love doing that kind of stuff sometimes in between writing and speaking. It's nice to do something with my hands and to create something that, you know, stays there. And so we were doing that. And I'm so grateful that she's helping me. And so I praise her, or I just hug her, or sort of stroke her, just so that she knows that she's appreciated. And later on she said to me, you know, she said, I'm not used to that type of treatment. It makes me feel so good. You don't even say anything. You just sort of touch me, and I know that you appreciate that I help you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, small things like that can help the other person, but also it makes you feel good.
You know, and going back to what we do, working with the youth and the gangbangers and the, you know, kids out selling drugs and different things like that, a lot of times all those children need is somebody to tell them something positive to help them stay out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, positive things from somebody can change your whole world around. Instead of you feeling that you're a bad person or you can't do anything right or that nobody cares about you, you know, for somebody to say, you know what, you did a great job and you're special, you're an awesome kid, something like that can just turn
mm-hmm.
somebody's whole life around.
Totally. Absolutely agree. And we can't say it often enough, you know. I mean,
right.
You know, we tend to say, you are bad, you are this, you are that, you know. And the problem with that is that we take that very personal. And especially when you're a child, you
mm-hmm.
think that this is the truth, because you're getting this type of information from your figures of authority, right? Your
mm-hmm.
parents, your teachers,
right.
Older siblings or what have you. And you think that this is the truth. It's not. It has nothing to do with the truth, because first of all, in your core, in our core, every single one of us is love, pure love, unconditional love. And we need to get to that. And, of course, the more we are being told off, the more we are building those layers around us that don't let that core shine through, you know, that is sort of encastling. We're imprisoning ourselves. Of course, unconsciously, we don't do that consciously. It just happens. And for those children, when children are being told off and they are being told, you are this, they believe it, because it's a power, it's a figure of authority that's telling them. And it's also not true, because maybe the behavior is wrong or the behavior is not appropriate, but it has nothing to do with the core being. So I write about that also in the book, that when we say to our, you know, my mother used to say, I'm stupid, not to me, to herself, I'm stupid. Whenever she made a small mistake, she told herself loud, she said, ah, so typical, you're stupid. And when I started, you know, my own journey, and I started to understand the messages we're giving ourselves, I talked to her all the time. I said, Mom, don't do that. You know, you are really telling yourself that you are dumb, you know, or that you are stupid and that you are not good enough. And then you shouldn't be surprised. Sometimes she asked me, why am I so shy? You know, why am I so timid and don't speak up to your father? I said, Mom, because you keep telling yourself, you know, that you can't. And yeah, it manifests. So
right.
And parents, I mean, any parents that are listening, parents, you have a massive responsibility. And please give love to your kids. Tell them if they do something wrong, then just tell them in a way that they understand that you love them. But at the same time, you don't appreciate the behavior they showed in that moment. That's a big difference. than telling them you are bad or you never amount to anything. I hear that so many times, that parents told them you never amount to anything. Look at you, you know, where you come from. You don't have a chance. It's not true. I mean, there is so many examples of people that have come from the wrong background. Look at Oprah Winfrey in the States. I mean, she came from the wrong side of town, and, you know, things happened to her. A lot of bad things happened to her in her childhood and her youth. But look where she is today. She didn't take that as a verdict that she has to stay down. On the contrary, she took that as, I'm going to get myself out of it. You know, she had a big picture for her life, and she went out to get it. So if she can do it, I would say that you can do it too.
Right. Hey, Barbara, we have a couple of callers on the line. I'm going to bring Lisa on now. She's been listening here for a little bit, and see if she has a question or a comment for you. Lisa, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hey, can you all hear me?
We can hear
you. Fine.
Hey, Miss Barbara.
Hi, Lisa.
I gotta breathe. You said a whole lot, and I'm from Newark, New Jersey, where the hood is the hood. But when I heard you talk about the passion for the kids, yes, they're a product of their environment. And this is what the parents don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you run in the streets. The parents run in the streets doing everything they got to do. And Robin Lucinda know me. Like, when it comes to this show, I get deep. I cry and everything. But you touch base with it. Like, the parents need to know. Like, you got a child out there. Be responsible for that child. Don't put that child out in the streets, because that's where that child going to go, out in the streets. That's what's going to happen to that child.
Yeah, it's true. And also, when they get negative messages from home, then they are looking for people in the street, you know, who understand them, who are like them, who will accept them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if that they are the wrong people, if they're the wrong type of people, then a child is very easily influenced.
Miss Barbara, my mother told me every day, all day. She hated me. She wished I was abortion because I was my daddy's baby. And I had to hear that from my biological mother all day, every day. So, like you said, when I was listening to you, don't put your kids in it. Don't put your kids in it. Whatever you're going through with your father, your mother, all that, don't put the babies in it, please.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when I heard you, Barbara, and Robin listened to know, when it comes to me, I come hard because I've been through all of it. I've been through all of it. But my mama told me that, and this is the first time I could really talk about it on this show, because nobody knows. My mother told me every day, wish I had an abortion, wish you was an abortion, you ugly, you this, that, and the third. All day, every day.
Then your mom is probably very insecure in herself, you know, and this is not.
Well, she's
what
dead people, now. She's dead
yeah,
now.
But this is what people project, you know, when they feel this, you know, when they feel that this has happened to them when they were children, or this is how they have been treated, and they still have that insecurity and maybe the hurt, you know, for sure the hurt inside of them. This is what they project, and they project it because, you know, to someone weaker than them, because that's the easiest way to do it. You can't fight it, and if you do fight it, you normally lose when you're a child. So, yeah, it's very unfortunate, and I hope that plenty of parents are listening, that, you know, and also that kids are listening or young people are listening, because, you know, they're going to be parents one day, and also for them to understand that you do not have to stay where you are right now. Also in your thinking, you know, if you've been treated like that, I'm really sorry to hear that. I've been abused badly as a child, and, you know, I know what it feels like, But I choose to get out of it. You know, I choose to not let it influence my whole life. And we have that choice. That's
okay, Miss Barbara, can I ask you something?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. God, I'm trying to breathe because I'm crying over here. Because this is the first time for me. Okay. When you got out of that, did you go to another abusive relationship?
I did, actually, yeah.
Exactly.
I did, yeah. I did for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes some time before you really understand. I mean, maybe if I had known, you know, if I had somebody like myself today that would have told me, you know, that this could happen, I could have avoided it. But because I didn't, and I had such low self-esteem, and I really let men especially trample all over me at the time. So it was very easy for them to use and abuse me, very easy. And it took some time before I even understood that. That's the main problem, you know. Nobody told me, but I could see after a while that this was a repeat pattern, that I was, you know, falling for the same type of no good person over and over again. And, you know, when I realized that, then I stopped and said, hey, you know, why is this happening? And I still find myself today occasionally be bullied by a guy. You know, like a lawyer, for instance, or a doctor, they just tell you this is the way it is. And when I get home, I think, how could I accept that? You know, I mean, that's no fact at all. You know, that's just his interpretation of whatever he wants to have me believe, but it has nothing to do with what is the real facts. So
mm-hmm.
I still have that today, that I need a little moment, you know, a few minutes, to actually ponder what was said and to decide, is this right or isn't it? So that still comes from those days, yeah.
Yeah, they do come from those days.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to break the pattern. And I broke the pattern. I broke the pattern with my two girls. Ain't nobody going to come near my two girls. But, you know, it's sad. And I just heard something you said, and I'm going to bring something out that nobody knows. Damn, listen, and Robbie won't kill me on this one. Love y'all. My daughter's godfather, he's a doctor. And this is the oldest one's godfather. And I was going to him from when I was 12 years old. It was nothing. And then when I was pregnant with the baby, the little one, and I called him. I was in cramps. I didn't know what was going on with me. I was pregnant. I just called, Uncle Larry. He said, what's up, Lace? I said, I'm coming to the office. He's like, it's 10:30 at night. I said, okay, I'll meet you in the door in the morning. He was like, no, just come to the office now. Okay. Man, I walked in there. He was naked.
Oh, wow.
And raped me all night.
While you were pregnant and
yeah.
sick?
Yeah.
God, he is sick. Did you go to the police?
No.
You should. You still can.
Nah. It's all good. It's all good. I put him out of practice.
You know, I mean, the thing is, Lisa, you need to let go of that. It's good that you've actually talked about it.
I finally talked about it. Oh, my
yep,
God.
Exactly.
And I've held this in for so many years. Thank you, Robin, listening in, Miss Barbara.
Welcome. And really let go, you know, really let go of it. It's in the past. You can't change it anymore. It happened. We have to accept that, but we do not have to live with it for the rest of our days. That's important. We really have to let go. You know, deal with it somewhere. I would go to the police even today, but deal with it for yourself. And really, you know, I let go physically. I've learned that some years ago by actually opening my hand, because normally when we talk about this kind of thing, we make a fist. It seems to be automatic. We make a fist because we're closing it in, and we keep carrying it around, and it hurts us. And I've learned to really let go by opening the hand, you know, so that you are actually looking at your empty bum and really let it go, and you see that your hand is nice and fresh and clean and empty. It's all gone. All the pain from the past, we can let go. We have that power, and we really have to do that. And sometimes we have to do it much more than once until it really leaves us. But we have to let go, because carrying all this around is terrible, because the other person has probably long forgotten about it. You know, also verbal hurts, you know, when we are verbally abused or things like that, we need to let go and say, okay, this is behind me. I have an experience with the family from my mom, because I lived abroad most of my life, and because I traveled so much, and they don't understand what the heck I'm doing, you know, with my life. They don't understand my work. They're also not really interested. They never want to hear about it. They're just super envious and jealous that I'm always traveling, you know, into these exotic countries. And they don't want to look at my book because it's in English, and they, again, doesn't interest them. And because I'm different than they are, they still live in the same village where they were all born, and so they reject me, you know. It's, yeah, okay, she's no good because she's not doing what we're doing, and she's got more money. That's, you know, another reason to be jealous. And so when my mom passed away, they actually rejected me. I mean, they didn't even give me condolences when they came to the funeral, and then they refused to go to the restaurant with, you know, the family, as is would be normal. And it took me, even with all the knowledge that I have today, you know, and all the tools and techniques I have at hand, it took me a year to actually be able to totally let go of that and say, okay, it's, you know, I sent them a couple of cards for Christmas and birthdays and celebrations, thinking, okay, I will show them that I'm open, you know, to communication. But they didn't take that. So finally I said, okay, Barbara, enough pain and enough hurt here. They don't want you in their life, and now you need to let them go too. And I really let them go. And believe me, Lisa, it feels so good. You know, it feels so good. Because
Miss Barbara,
nothing you can do about it.
Miss Barbara,
mm-hmm.
Let me say something. You said reject. When I married outside my race.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, please. And I was in Newark. I'm in Newark, New Jersey. And I married outside my race. And, my white family, they disowned me. But I had my brother Sal and Haas and everybody in the hood. And you know what? I would rep them and ride to die with them every day, all day, 24/7. And you come to find out who your real family is.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. Like you said, reject. Man, rejected wasn't the word. When my grandmother died, they all rejected me. They all rejected me.
Yeah, and it really is their problem. It's not your problem, so don't make it your problem. It really is, and I know that it can be hard and it can be painful, but we really need to learn to let go of those things, because they are not in our hands. We cannot change them. And, you know, one thing that I always find amazing is that when people are rejected, for instance, or when people are insulted, when people are criticized, they really take that to heart, and some carry that for the rest of their days with
mm-hmm.
them. But when they get praised, when they get a compliment, they brush it off and they say, it's nothing, you know. Or you look beautiful today too. You know what I do, Lisa? I open my arms wide and I put a big grin on my face and I say, thank you. And nothing else, you know, this is my praise. This is, you know, and I really take it in. And of course, you know, if I am at a party and somebody pays me a compliment, I don't open my arms wide and make a big thing out of it. But I do always give a big smile back and say thank you. And I really mean it from the bottom of my heart, thank you. But we need to learn how to receive, especially when we come from abusive backgrounds. We need to learn how to receive the good things. And we receive it by really literally physically receiving it, by opening up our heart and opening up our arms so there is space for us to receive it. And we take it all in. I went to a seminar with Tihoff Ecker a few years ago, and they make one of those exercises that you actually get a standing ovation. And so you go up on stage and you say, this is my name and I deserve a standing ovation. And you open your arms wide and everybody in the room gives you a standing ovation. And then you just thank them. It is a way to learn how to receive. You know, we can practice all this stuff. It's no problem. We can practice this and you will be surprised how many praises and how many good things are being said to each of us once we get an ear for it.
Right.
And if nothing like that happens, I praise myself. You know, I don't wait on, you know, if I need a praise, if I need a compliment, I give it to myself because I do so much every day that there's always reason for, you know, for a pat on the back.
Right. And, you know, that is so true, Barbara. And even just thinking in general, you know, if something bad happens at work, 9 out of 10 people are going to turn right around and pass that bad message on. Mm-hmm. But if something good happens, nobody really talks about it.
Yeah, exactly. And
you know, we're more eager to spread the bad news than to promote the good news.
Yeah, this is so weird. So weird and so destructive.
Right.
But, I mean, when you look at what's happening right now with Bin Laden, he was really evil, but you had Martin Luther King, and he said that you cannot fight hate with hate.
Exactly.
You can only fight it with love. So, you know, okay, everybody's happy that the guy was caught, and whether you're in agreement with how they killed him or not, you know, everybody has to decide for themselves. But making it like, oh, wow, this fantastic thing has happened. No, a poor soul was killed because he went down the wrong path. And,
right.
You know, we cannot focus on all the evil stuff and now repeat it and re-chew it because that makes it stick even more.
Right.
Miss Barbara and Miss Lucinda, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. We just was on another show. This is my fourth show for tonight. But we was on another show tonight, and yeah, why everybody had to post those pictures up? Ain't nobody care. For real. Like, look, if somebody gets killed in my hood in Newark, do you think anybody posts the hood up pictures? But they post that up. But I got to give Obama his props because everybody said he wasn't doing this, doing that. But he did. He called it out in the beginning of the game. He said, I'm going to take Bin Laden out. And he did. So now he's out. Okay, nobody cares. And then they all wilding on. Like, I'm getting calls from New York and everything. Like, sis, where you at? Why you ain't fly up for this? For what? The man's dead. The man is dead. It's got to be done. It was taken care of. And that's a wrap. Just like when people call me from Newark. Yo, sis, do you know this, that, and the third? Okay, well, it happened. What do you want me to do? Like, for real, like, the man is dead. Okay, Obama announced it. Obama did his thing. He called it out in the beginning of his election. And through his whole time he's been out, he was going to do that. okay, he did, like, it got taken care of. Now, what is people really bugging out, making T-shirts and shit? What the hell? Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. But what is people making T-shirts, posts, and all that, like the man did? And please, I screamed today. I really did. Lucinda, I screamed. Stop posting that dead man's picture on my page.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, it is. Yeah,
I don't care what he looks like.
Right.
Yeah, and also they're fake photos, but I think we really need to take the focus away. And this is a general problem that I see in the Western world, especially it's different in Asia. But in the West, it is like that, that we focus on all the stuff that was happening. I was watching TV earlier on to stay awake, you know. And the first, you know, in the morning news, the first 3 or 4 minutes, I never watched these news before, ever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm normally asleep at this time. So I was watching, and the first things they show is, you know, accidents, massive accidents, deadly accidents. And I thought, my God, this is what people wake up with? I mean, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bring the political news, you know, they bring, they had something with Obama. I didn't have the sound on, I just saw the pictures. And they had something with Obama, and then they had some crime thing, you know, that some youths were hitting another person in the metro station, and they put all the attention. Do you know that this youth that did that, you know, that almost killed that poor boy that they were beating up, they get a lot of attention now. I mean, nationwide, this is seen. And how will they feel? They will feel like, wow, you know, look at me. I'm a real big boy. I've been on television. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what was worse. I don't know what was worse this week. The royal wedding? That really nobody... come on now. Did I need to see that all day, every day?
No, you didn't have to. You could switch your TV off.
Look. No, it was on every channel.
Well,
and then
been
Laden. Like, I was just like, oh my God, I got all these channels, and that was all that was on. I had to go, like, for real, the royal wedding, then the bin Laden.
Well, I'd rather watch the royal wedding than bin Laden, you know. I just find that much more inspiring to see two young people in love, so that's, you know.
Right. I think for a lot of people, it's kind of like a storybook, you know, fairy tale that we grew up reading about, and now you get to look at it live.
Uh-huh.
You know, but definitely the news is, you know, 99% negative, and really most of it we don't need to hear. Most of it doesn't pertain to us. And, you know, I mean, we want to keep up with things that are going on in the world, but we don't need to sit there, you know, several times a day and listen to all the negative stuff when we could be out doing something more positive.
Definitely. You know, in Asia, for instance, in Singapore, they have a very positive mindset. And that's, you know, since Singapore was founded in the 60s, the founder of Singapore had a big vision for his country. And many of the Asian countries that are up and coming actually have visions. They create a vision for their country, and then they spoon feed it to the country, you know, step by step, slowly, so that the population actually accepts it as their own, because they're getting it bit by bit. In Malaysia, for instance, they wrote a book. You know, they sat down with the leaders of the country and also with leaders from other countries. And they created a vision. I think it was called Vision 2020 or something like that. This is quite some time ago. And when they were totally satisfied with the vision for their country, and this was a real third world country, because I've traveled it in the 80s, and if you go today, it's worlds in between. I mean, massive difference. And then the government got the best known novelist of the country to write a novel about that vision. So he wrote a novel, and that was pushed, you know, so everybody read it. which had the vision for the future of the country in it as a story. Now, when they started to implement it step by step, the population accepted it because they already knew the story. So it was not something totally new and strange, and they were not forced to do it. They wanted to do it because they liked the story. I thought that was genius.
Right.
And when you read the newspapers there, they have positive language. They use success language in the news every day.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a different, you know, students have a totally different attitudes towards studying. They want to study. They are keen. I stayed
right.
in a hotel in Singapore a couple of years ago, and my waiter, every morning, he asked me for a new word in English so that he could improve his language. That was like, you know, the little learning that he could do with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that
right.
he learned something from other clients, too. And I thought that was a great attitude. What a great way to go about things.
Right, definitely. Always trying to learn something.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara and Lisa, just hang on tight with here with us. I'm going to bring Yolanda on. Yolanda is on the other line. Let's see. Yolanda, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Welcome to the show, and thank you for listening. Do you have anything to say to Miss Barbara?
Yeah, Barbara, hello. How are you? And I've heard your name for years, and I've probably run across some of your books. But I was just so happy when you mentioned Wayne Dyer, because he was one of the people that helped me, you know, to get a grip on my thinking when he came out with The Power of Intention.
Mm-hmm.
And he was coming to our church. I belong to a Unity church, and I was in one of those fits where I was in the three-dimensional world. I had the appearance of not having enough money to go see him, and
mm-hmm.
I was going to sit down and meditate on his power of intention, where basically what he says is that, you know, you go to your source. If you make your problem your source, then you just get more of a problem. So
mm-hmm.
go to your source and basically see yourself surrounded by the conditions you want to produce. And just before I listened to it once, I taped it for PBS, and before I could sit down and listen to it one more time, our minister of volunteers called me and said, you know, and I always throw in this clause, this or something better, you know, because I want God to bring it in the way that I know it comes from God and nowhere else. And she called me and she said, I have an opportunity. So I thought she was calling about a job. She said, I just want to see, would you mind being on TV with Wayne Dyer? I go, are you joking? I said, you have to ask me to be on TV with Wayne Dyer. What are we doing? So I thought maybe they were going to film something at the church, you know, people who's read his books and or whatever. She said, no, PBS, you know, when he's going to be back on PBS, they're showing The Power of Attention again, but he's going to be here live. So when people call in, they need volunteers to answer the phone. And so we walked in, I said, okay, so that was my this or something better, because not only did I get to see Wayne Dyer, hear Power of Attention again, answer phones for him, got to meet him, got a hug and a kiss, too.
Wow. Well, you got some advantage over me, that's for sure. You never have to kiss me.
And I mean, he is so warm. He is the warmest person I've ever met. And from that point
yeah.
on, you see, when you're talking about changing your mindset, he doesn't talk about it a lot. He used to in his early years. You know, he was an orphan at one time. His father was an alcoholic, and his mother couldn't take care of him. He was the eldest of six somewhere in there, and they were put in different foster homes at one time for over a year. And, you know, he struggled. I think he said at one point in his life he may have struggled with alcohol. But, you know, when people would come to him and they said, well, this is working for you, and you know, you're Wayne Dyer. So, you know, he said, but no, at some point, you know, we all have stuff. He said, but at some point in your life, you have to give up your story, and giving up your story doesn't mean that you forget about it. You go into some kind of weird denial. It means you really let go of it. You bless it, you release it, you really let go of it. And I tell you, when I really heard him, I think everything from that point on, I kept meeting people. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of Dr. Joe Dispenza, who he did the science on how just even forgiveness how your body, how the cells in your body change when you forgive someone, you know. And people talk, you know, say, well, you're a doctor, you know, you have this and that. But he doesn't tell this story often. He was a person, he was run over by a truck, and his spine was destroyed. And he went against medical advice, and all his friends who were in the holistic community said, you know, you need to have surgery. You're going to be 2 inches shorter. Let them put these rods in your spine. And he thought to himself, wait a minute. I'm a doctor, and I know the power of my mind. Why don't I just feel my spine while I can't move here and wait for them to decide? So every day he imagined his spine whole and complete. And mm-hmm. the short story of that long story was that in 12 weeks he was back standing in his office without rods in his spine, and just wow. because he believed he had turned on, he said, you know, and all of that's in us, but we forget, we looking outside of ourselves, and you're talking about looking at the news. Hallmark Channel doesn't show any of that stuff. When my TV is on, it's on the Hallmark Channel. I've been watching The Waltons and Little House on the Prairie, Martha Stewart, you know, they may mention things. But you have more control of what you take in. But if you sit in front of the TV, and you know your brain is a receptor, also, eventually you become subjective to it if you just sit there and take it in. And, you know, so you have to turn. If you can't tune it out, you have to turn it off. You know, and you have the power. Every person does. Everybody is so much more powerful than they think they are, than they mm-hmm. know they are. And that's not bragging. That's an absolute truth. You know, and life is going to bring us all stuff, but you have to decide, you know, people, you know, my whole last year, every other, you know, I lost my dad, my best friend within a month of each other. But on the other side of that, too, I got to experience so much love that it's not even, a sad story. You know, of course, I miss them, but it's not a sad story. I'm not a victim. I'm not telling you this because I'm a victim. It's just that it happened, and I knew as it was happening, I was so happy that I could watch my dad make his transition. I was so happy that I could talk to him and that he and my brothers made up. We got to spend time. He spent 6 months on hospice when they told him in December that he probably would pass, you know, he probably wouldn't make it to the end of the year. But he did. And we got to spend that time with him happy, having conversations, talking about things. So, you know, it's always, you have more of a choice about what you take in than if you allow yourself to do that, you know.
Yeah, sure. If you think that you are a victim and you can't do anything about what's happening to you, then you have no choice at all. The choice
right.
is in the outer world, you know, because you are the victim of someone or something. That means automatically that you can only get better, you can only heal when the outside world
right.
heals, when the outside world changes. That leaves you totally powerless.
Absolutely. And, you know, every day, I could talk about the stuff I've been through, but I don't really see it as anything other than what, you know, there's a lady who's a friend on my Facebook, she's a minister also. And, you know, life is just, if you see it as a dance, you know, when you dance, you take steps forward, back, to the side. Just dance, you know. You don't have to give any credence to anything, you know, dogma, that's bad, he's good, he's evil, he's this, you know, and all the things going on with that. I said, you know, because we're all that at one time, you know, because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. You know, who can ever say when they didn't have a bad thought or wanted to hit somebody, especially if you live in Houston and people pull out in front of you in traffic, you're like, oh, my gosh, we're getting ready to box up the next light, you know, and it's happened, you know. But we all have to decide. We have to, you know, in some way grow ourselves up and choose how we want. Happiness is really a choice. And I was just so happy to hear you talk about that and so you decide what's going to make you happy. When, you know, seeing the deer, you know, why couldn't you appreciate that? Because you decide to appreciate that, and nothing outside mm-hmm. of you is going to change who you are unless you give it power over you. You know, no one's
absolutely
a victim. Mm-hmm. And I was just so happy. I know I've heard your name so many times. I think there's so many people have mentioned your books to me. And I was just looking on your page. I said, I've got to get that book. I just love to to reinforce that, because every day when we get up, you know, there's something, but it's just something. It's just what life is, you know.
Exactly.
And it happens to
everyone, the positive and the negative-minded
right.
people, you know, just we deal with it in different ways.
Right. Absolutely, you know, and as far as people, I know people were on Facebook jeering and cheering about when you were talking about the bin Laden. Just I don't comment on things like that. I don't give an audience
to that kind of stuff.
I hide that from my feed, and then I found something, that quote that you'd mentioned about Martin Luther King, that my minister, that's the only thing, he was in Brazil, but that's the only thing he had posted from Martin Luther King. He said, I'll grieve for the loss of thousands, but I will not rejoice in the death of one, not even an enemy. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Hate begets hate. You know, only hate cannot destroy hate. Only love can move hate out. You know, and that's the only thing I put up. I didn't mention, you know, and you don't have to. You don't have to buy into that. There are people arguing. I just go to the feed, hide it. I don't have to see that. You know,
right.
You don't have to look at that. You don't have to participate. There's somebody put something on my page.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
remove it.
Yeah, it's
like
people. You know, I mean, there is a saying. Imagine if there was a war and nobody would go.
Right.
It's really the same, you know.
Exactly.
You can decide. You don't have to participate in all this slander. You don't have to participate in the hate and the hype also over certain topics. And in your life, I mean, in each of our lives, we've got to be the masters of our life. And we have to do
Absolutely.
That consciously, because subconsciously, our old beliefs and our old values, you know, that might have been formed, or most of them were formed, when we were little kids. And when maybe,
right.
yes, we were abused, maybe, yes, we were mishandled, you know. But
uh-huh.
this is a long, long time ago, and hopefully everyone has overcome that and is aware of where it stems from and has changed those values. But if they haven't, then they need to consciously decide where do they want to go. You know, is this giving me more pleasure? Is this an inspired action that I'm taking, you know, posting
right.
something ugly or sharing it with other people, is that giving me satisfaction? Why would that give me satisfaction?
Right. And
you know,
when you mentioned... Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No, it focuses our attention again. It focuses our energy on
mm-hmm.
the bad things that are happening in the world. And we get more of that, you know. But I can
uh-huh.
tell you, there is a massive shift going on in the world. And
uh-huh.
I am so, 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 so happy about that. There is
right.
a shift for the better. It's happening. It's, you know, we might still see some worse before it gets better, as it normally is. But there
uh-huh.
is a massive connecting going
right.
on from like-minded people, positive-minded people, people who have gone to the core of them, you know, to that unconditional love place where you are connected to the whole universe
right.
and to everything there is, and where there is only love and no judgment of anything. And
right.
And this is really where I see more and more people that I'm meeting coming from, you
right.
know. And I don't know if I've mentioned that already, but I'm speaking at the Festival of Enlightenment in Colorado next month. And,
awesome.
Yeah, this is my first big event in the state, so I'm really excited about it.
Oh, that's good.
And the festival, I mean, I really recommend everybody to check it out. Why? Because it is a 7-day and 7-night event where 50-odd speakers of, I mean, all in the transformational field, but everybody transports their message in a different way. But can you imagine when you have 50 people giving
right.
the same message, but in different words, with different visuals, with different ways of teaching and sharing? This is going to be really transformational to thousands of people. Plus, it's a non-profit event. That
uh-huh.
means that, you know, they want people to have access to all this. This is why they brought so many speakers together, and this is why the tickets are extremely inexpensive. And every one of us does workshops. So So there's going to be a lot of breakout sessions. And I myself am speaking 7 days of the 7 days. That means I will be doing 5 or 6 workshops and a couple of keynotes. And why? And none of us get paid, by the way. Everybody does it because we want that message to get out into the universe. We want as many people as possible to hear the message, to feel it, and to use it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I think this event is going to be so very, very special, because if they make any profit at all, it will go to charity. That's one thing. And none of us, none of the speakers, none of the musicians are getting fees. So, and we are not allowed to give big sales pitches either, so it's not going to be one of those pitch fests. Yeah, it's really,
what is it called, Barbara?
Festival of Enlightenment.
Yeah, I was looking at that.
And the website is festivalofenlightenment.com. And they also have, parallel to the main festival, they have a youth festival. So it can be a family vacation, really. You know, it's in a beautiful mountain. It's near Denver, Colorado. So it's really a beautiful setting. And the children from 5 to 16 are taken care of by special teachers and special trainers who do motivational work for kids.
Wow.
And so just imagine, you know, spending with your family a full week in a beautiful setting with thousands of beautiful, positive-minded people. I mean, even if you wouldn't go to any of the workshops, that would be transformational by itself and in itself. Because I'm so happy that they asked me to speak there, and they asked me already 6-7 months ago, and I immediately said, yeah, I'm going to do it, you know. And because this is where we are going, and this is where planet Earth is going, I am sure of that, because I travel around the world, and I speak in many different places, including Russia, including Asia, and the States, and I find that things are going on, things are moving, but every one of us has to do their little bit to help it, you know, to sort of get the word out, for instance, that a book like mine is available that is very practical and very easy to follow, and that there are events like the Festival of Enlightenment where people can go to without spending thousands and thousands of dollars for a weekend seminar, and they don't even know if, you know, they will get the value out of it. I know that last week the tickets were $100 for the full week with all the workshops. I mean,
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, check it out and spread the word, because we need as many people as possible to hear this and to be there. And, you know, because this is what people need to understand, that their life is in their hands. And I know that you know it. You are in agreement with me on that. But we need to get that word out into the public. You know, this is why I'm doing all these radio shows in all crazy hours. And I've just decided I'm cooking myself a coffee and I'm staying up, you know. So
yeah, I just found the website. You know, that's really good to hear. I just found the website, and they have a like button on there where you can share it on Facebook, and I just clicked on it. But I'm just so happy to hear you speak in person, because I've heard of you for years, and to share that. And when you're talking about, you know, all of us going through things, and I was speaking of my father when he was even, you know, in between, he struggled with alcohol most of his life, and his adult life anyway. And when he was going, what you can say, making his transition. And even before that, at times, he would always apologize to me. I'm the middle of five, and the third, and my sister is the youngest. And she chose to stay away from him for many years, and my grandparents and all that by choice. And he would always say to me in conversations that he wanted to apologize for me for this, that, and the other. And I said, why do you keep apologizing to me? I don't even remember any of that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, I just made a difference. I made a difference with her than I did, you know, more with you. I said, you know, you keep telling me that. I said, but I never saw that. I said, that wasn't my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, and I said, and at this point, if I hadn't gotten over it, shame on me, you know. I said, and I said, if you feel that you owe me anything, I said, do some, you know, make the best of your life. Love yourself. Forgive yourself. Let yourself off the hook.
Exactly.
You know?
That's the secret.
Yeah.
Right.
And I said, you know, if I had to choose again. Yeah, I said, if I had to choose again, you were in line. I said, even all that I know with that in my mind, I said, I would choose you again. I said, that's it. I said, we all have stuff. I said, so what? You know, it's no big deal. I said, that don't even faze me. And some of the things you speak about, I said, I don't live there anymore. I said, when it was in me that I knew that God was my source, there's not too much anybody can do to move me from that place. The only person that moves me from that place is me, if I choose, you know.
Right.
So, you know, it's all about just being conscious. It's an exercise. It's work because life will test you.
Yes.
You know, life will test you, and it's just so what to that, too. And the more you get, you know, I guess you say not get over it, but the more you experience it and just see it as something that happened, not as anything happening to you or somebody's doing something to you, you know, it just kind of goes by the wayside, or you may not even notice it anymore.
Yeah, like I said, we have to learn how to let go of these things because they are with us all our lives, like you said, from the Father. It's with him still, you know, and you've long forgotten. And you have that very often when people abuse you in some way or other, especially verbally, they forget about it immediately. They are in many cases not even aware that they were hurting you. And then you carry that around, you know, and you feel so hurt and you feel so bad about it. And you're carrying that around. And months later, you meet that person. And you've got this big story going on in your head for months and months, you know. And when you meet that person, you can be even violent, you know, because you are so, you made up that big story, you know, about what happened and why it happened and you know, and the other person doesn't know what the heck is going on because, we didn't meet for 6 months, so you know, what happened? Last time we had a friendly conversation. And, you know, we need to learn to let go, and you're totally right. Nobody can hurt us only if we allow it, and nobody can stop us only if we allow it. And if I may, I would like to say something that I noticed in the vast, vast, vast majority of people, and that is that between 90 and 95% of the people have no clear direction in life. I think that is so, so, so important that people learn to look and to find their purpose and to really live into that purpose and passion in their life, because that is when it becomes much easier to be strong, when it becomes much easier to be clear, to be committed, and take full responsibility for your life, because you know where you are going. Then nobody can push you around anymore because you are clear on your path. And I really, in my life trainings especially, 90 to 95% of the people in the Western world have no clear picture of where they're taking their life. So anybody can push them around because they have no clear direction. And that's something I really, you know, this is why I start the book with that. There's 3 chapters in the book actually talking about finding purpose and becoming really crystal clear. So you are clear in every cell of your body where your road is. And this is when you don't get distracted anymore. Do we have a feedback? Do you hear feedback?
I hear something. Is your computer on, Yolanda?
It just started. Can you mute me for a minute? And I just press my coffee machine because that's quite noisy.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I don't have anything on. I turned everything off.
Okay. Boyd?
Yeah, I'm right here listening to
you. You got anything extra going on down there? We're just trying to find out where this extra noise is coming from.
No,
you're okay?
Yeah, quite. Yeah, here.
Okay. Let's see. All right. Are you back, Barbara? Are you there?
Well, I'm here. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you.
You can hear me. Okay. You might hear the noise of my coffee machine.
Oh, that's okay.
I've decided that I'm going to stay up because now, you know, when I do this radio stuff and I talk with like-minded people, like, you know, everybody that I've been talking to this morning, I get so worked up that I can't
go to
sleep
now. It's hard to go to sleep.
I'm just way too awake. And so I probably take a nap sometime in the afternoon or some, you know, whenever it comes over me, but it will not be now. So,
Barbara, can you talk a little bit about how to empower yourself, whether it's, you know, from abuse or rejection or just in general, how we can empower ourselves to become better people and positive people?
Well, first of all, I think one of the main... Let me just finish this coffee thing. I'm sorry, my coffee machine is very slow. But it makes brilliant coffee. It really makes absolutely excellent coffee.
Good. And it's about almost... let's see, what time is it over there? 5:30, 6:30, almost 7 o'clock over there? Or?
Uh-huh. And I haven't been to bed yet, so...
In the morning. She's been up all night waiting for us. We're really so grateful that you were able to call into the show and give us your words of wisdom.
Yeah, I'm surprised that I'm that awake mentally also, you know. I knew I could get myself up, but, you know, would I be coherent? Would I be able to speak? But it seems to work, you know. I think I can do it by now in my sleep. I've been doing it for so long. But, yeah,
we definitely appreciate that, you know, that you did... you know, stay up to be on the show, and we definitely, like I say, we appreciate that. And through you staying up, people is definitely learning from your message, you know. And we thank Ms. Yolanda always for being on the show as well and talking and speaking as well, as always.
And Ms. Lisa's phone died, so she's chatting on our chat line, but she had to hang up. Her phone was dead after all the shows she's done tonight. But we are so glad that, Lisa, that you were able to share with us and get that off your chest. And
yeah,
you know, we love you. We know that you'll be able to heal and move on and do better things.
Yeah, exactly. When you let go of things like that and you let it out, it's an amazing feeling. It's just like a big weight is off your shoulder. And this is what I recommend. First of all, if people are abused... and it is, you know, serious abuse, go to the police. It's not pleasant. I don't know how they handle it in the States. Here it was extremely unpleasant. I had to go through a lot of stuff that I don't wish anybody to go through, with the police also, because it's word against word, you know, your word against theirs. And that can be more unpleasant than the actual thing. I mean, when I was raped, it was for me, I think I could have overcome that much easier without the court cases. And we had to go through 3 different instances of court until the guy was convicted. So I had to repeat my story 50 times, and of course by that time it was really anchored in. So, but I still recommend that everybody really goes to the police, because these people need to be stopped. They have to be stopped. If it is within the family and it's not so much a physical abuse, it's more of a verbal abuse, like Lisa was talking about, you know, that you're being told that you're an idiot every day and that you don't amount to anything, well, you know, just be aware that the person that is insecure is not you, and the person that is the idiot and doesn't amount to much is not you. It's the person that's doing this kind of thing, because they are voicing their own insecurities. It has nothing to do with you. It is them that are pushing it out because they are hurting inside, and they need to, you know, move on, pass on that hurt. And that's the way that they've learned it. I know this from my father. He had very strict parents, and he passed that on to me, and it was unbearable at times, you know, and it was so unfair. And yeah, but that's the way he was, and I loved him to bits all the same, you know. He was my dad. But he had learned it like that. And probably, you know, the generation before that had been like that, and the generation before that. So it's gone through, you know, generations of people. But do not take it personal. That's one thing. I know it's difficult, but be aware that it is not you that they are calling names. It is them that they are calling names. So first of all, don't take it too hard. It is not you. Second, when you have taken it too hard, learn to let go. This is sometimes very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard this story once, you know, the story told around the water cooler, and it actually was around the water cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking with some therapists, and this is many years ago, and I was madly in love. But the man was not madly in love with me. So I was hurting, you know, heartbroken and the whole thing. And I was telling them, I said, you know, I can't let go. You know, I just can't let him go. You know, I love him so much and blah, 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 blah. The whole drama. And they were laughing. And I felt bad because they were laughing. They were not taking me serious, you know, and my massive pain. And today I have to laugh myself. But I remember that moment that I was feeling so bad. And they said, well, Barbara, just let go. You know, I said, but I can't, you know. I mean, when you're in love, maybe you've never been in love. I can't let go. And they said, oh, it's easy. Just open your hand and let go. Let it go. I said, what do you mean, just open my hand and let it go? And they said, you know, I think it was in Madagascar, how they catch apes. I said, no. They said they make a very small cage, just big enough to fit a banana in. And then they have a small entrance to that little basket. It's a basket, to that basket. And the apes come, and they see the banana, and they stretch their hands, and they go into that small hole and grab hold of the banana. And then they hang on to that banana for dear life. But the exit or entrance is not big enough to let the hand and the banana out. But if he would let go of that banana, then he would be free. But the apes stay sometimes for days in that position, grabbing that banana and holding on tight.
Wow.
That banana until the hunter comes and picks them. They pick them literally. So, and this is how we are. And I love this story so much because this is really how we are in you know, with some of the dramas that we create in our life. We hang on to it for dear life as if we couldn't live without it. And all we have to do is open our hand and let go of the banana. You know, because a banana doesn't serve us. And we've got plenty in the supermarket anyway, so. Yeah, that's one thing that, you know, just using that story and laughing about it, it's a good help. Another thing is don't talk about it all the time because that's very destructive. You know, if you continuously bring the same story of hurt and pain and how the others have done to you, you know, up, then you are just reinforcing that. So that's, you know, absolutely the opposite of what you really want. But you might get something out of it. You might get a reward out of it, and that's why you're doing it. And that reward is attention and people, you know, hugging you and stroking you and say, oh, poor you, you know, poor you. You don't want that. I mean, you don't want people to feel sorry for you. You want people to look up to you, to respect you and, you know, love you, but not feel sorry for you. So, you know, I mean, look at the rewards you're getting if you do stuff like that. And the next thing is build up your confidence and your belief in yourself because that you need for anything in life. And too many people have very low self-esteem and they let people trample all over them and then they look at themselves and say, what did I do to make this happen? Well, you know, so, yeah, I recommend that people, I write a lot about this in the book because I had to go through all this abuse stuff and build up my own self-esteem and confidence. And I know that we don't go very far in life if we don't believe we can. And so I recommend celebrate every little win, every little, you know, every small thing that you are proud of. I celebrated yesterday with my friends the finish of building my wardrobe because it really came out nice, and I just had to do some small finishing touches, and we celebrated. And I celebrate also by just patting myself on the shoulder. You know, I can't get to my back so well. It's a bit complicated. So I pat myself on the shoulder. And I do that for everything, you know. I cook myself a nice meal. I live alone here in the woods, you know, in Norway land. So I don't see people every day. And so, you know, I can't wait until someone else notices that I cooked a nice dinner. So if I cook a nice dinner and I find it tasty, I pat myself on the shoulder. I say, well done, Barbara. And I do that with every little thing. I make a cake. Well done, Barbara. And I don't tell myself off when things don't work. I just say, what went wrong here? What can you do better the next time? You know, because we tell ourselves off. How stupid of me. How could I have done that? How didn't I notice that? How, you know, and we beat ourselves up. And I used to be really good at that. Yeah, but that's destructive. That's, you know, self-sabotaging is destroying yourself. So all these things together will build that belief in yourself that you are worthy and that you are good enough and that you deserve only the best, which everybody does. And, you know, will get you closer to that core you that is divine love, you know, unconditional love for yourself first and then for everything there is. And that's the great part, that we are in our core. We are totally without judgment.
Right.
Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking on Amazon. Do you know there's only two of your books left?
Oh, really? Are they available?
Yeah, it says only two left in stock. Well, not only one, because I just pressed.
But it works automatically, so they will immediately tell the warehouse that they need more.
Oh, okay.
Thank God for these wonderful, systems. You don't have to do it anymore. For my website, I have to do it myself, and that's sort of complicated. I have to always make sure there's enough in stock, but Amazon works with my printing company, and they warehouse it and send it to them. So take a big percentage, so you don't make money on your books, you know, because Amazon takes 55%.
Right, they take a lot.
Yeah, this is why they can give such deep discounts, you know, but it's very convenient, and it's worldwide, so you can put your book on Amazon, and it's distributed worldwide, which I think is very convenient. And also the discounts, how much was it?
It was 12. I paid full price. I guess full price. It was $12.73.
Oh, the full price is $19.70. So they have a heavy discount. Yes, 35% discount is good.
Oh, hold on. Let me check.
Yeah, $12.37 they had the other day.
They do. Yeah, so you say $6.97.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, tell me how you find it, and if you have questions, get in touch.
And I
would greatly appreciate if you write a review on Amazon or on the book website, because it's good to hear the opinions of the people who've actually used the book, you know, because I know when I got my first review on Amazon, I cried. I mean, this was much more important to me than having the book in hand and having it registered and all that stuff that a lot of my colleagues say, oh, when I had the first printed book in hand, I cried. No, for me that was just, you know, yeah, I was working on it. I knew it was coming. So that was not a big surprise. But getting a review from a total stranger writing that a book had changed their life, you know. That for me was so powerful and so humbling, and I really cried, and I was so happy, you know. Yeah, something to be grateful for. Yep, it works. I can promise you that.
Right.
All tested, every little technique. And, you know, I talk in a book also a lot about our little inner voice, and that, in for most of us, it's a very disempowering voice. You know, it tries to stop us all the time when we want to do something different, something new, and it says, yeah, but you're too old for that. Yeah, but, you know, yeah, but this is why I call it yeah, but, because it's always yeah, butting us. And many people are stopped by that because they're not aware that they are in control of that voice, and that voice is just there for protection, you know. It's just there for survival, but we want to do much more than survive while we're here. So if we want to do more than survive, then we got to tell that little voice, thank you, but no thank you. You know, I don't need your advice anymore. I'm a big girl now, you know. I can make my own decisions. And it's an automated thing, and most of us don't even hear it consciously. But I give some techniques how, for instance, I use a rubber band when I do something new and scary. I put the rubber band back on my wrist, and normally I don't wear it anymore because I don't need it that much. But when I do something new and I feel a bit scared, I put the rubber band around my wrist again. And every time my little voice tells me, oh, this is too dangerous, alarm, 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 you know, or you can't do that, you're too old, you know, you are 60 now, you don't need to do all this stuff, you know, much too dangerous, like climbing the trees or fly to America to speak at a festival or whatever. And I just say, oh, thank you very much. And I really snap it hard, you know, so my wrist hurts. And I say, no, thank you, you know. And because we learn by joy and by pain, and we learn much faster through pain. So I teach my subconscious that I don't want these messages that tell me I can't do certain things, because I know I can. And, you know, so... yeah, that's a little trick that anybody can use. Very inexpensive, because you get your newspapers with rubber bands and you have rubber bands everywhere. So just take one that doesn't cut in when you're not using it.
Exactly. Don't want to cut off your circulation.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to do that. And don't hold me responsible if you do, you know.
Miss Barbara said.
Yeah, that being said... exactly.
Well, have you ever heard or tried? This is something that I was working with. I work with a lady. It's called EFT, and Dr. Joseph Dispenza, Getting Unstuck, where you tap on the meridians and the points to help you to shake that loose. Sometimes because when we get stuck, or like I felt like a few months ago, my energy was blocked. And I've done healing. I'm certified in Reiki, and I knew my energy was stuck, and I couldn't. And this, you know, the universe, when you ask for help, brings you help. And this lady had advertised on, you know, to do a phone conference with her free, and she introduced you to the to EFT and gave a diagram on where to tap and all this. And I tell you, just tapping and when you, one thing is bring your awareness to what you're thinking about and keeps you in the present moment, but tapping on those your acupuncture points really helps release, because it's just energy that gets stuck. It's old stuff or something that it comes up and it gets stuck because you had moved it, and you know you're stuck there, but the gift, even if you can't move it right away, the gift for me is in the awareness that I know what's going on with me. I'm here with it. You know, and I know I need to release it, and whenever, you know, the opportunity comes, like that one comes, I took, it was just a big shift for me. I was able to let go of that, and whatever. When it wasn't even anything in particular. It's just my energy was just stuck. It probably was a, you know, a story that I told over and over somewhere, and mm-hmm. and the energy from that was just bogged in me. But I tell you, it really works. There are so many people like Margaret Lynch. It's so wonderful when I started doing that. She gave a free seminar one day, and so I got to tap with Margaret Lynch, and she's the one that teaches all these other people how to do that. So I got to sit on the and it was tapping on prosperity, because a lot of people still have, even if they're successful, have issues with deservedness or whatever it is that's stopping them from, you know, going across and doing what you're doing, being in a big festival, you know, speaking 5 days, and because there's some kind of fear there. Mm-hmm. And so I got to tap with her one day, which was great. And there were so many people.
Tapping is a very good tool. I had in my mastermind group some years ago, I had an EFT trainer. And he works with post-traumatic disorder people, you know, that have gone through very traumatic situations, or like war veterans, for instance, that really had to see some grueling things, and they can't cope with it, and they're back into normal life. And he deals with that through EFT and has amazing results, amazing. And he's trying to get the government to recognize that and to, you know, but they don't recognize it. It's crazy. I mean, he gets much better results and much faster and much cheaper than, you know, sending the veterans through years of therapy and hospitals and what have you, which costs tens of thousands of dollars or euros or pounds. They do it in most cases in a few short sessions, and they can always later on do it by themselves, because once you know how to do it, you can do it anytime, anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's a great technique, yeah. I use that also occasionally. I use a lot of NLP stuff. I find that very, very useful. For instance, in all my trainings, I use visualization techniques. I use anchoring techniques because anchoring is so easy for people to do by themselves and to continue doing. Like tapping myself on my shoulder is an anchor of all my wins, and I keep adding new wins to it every day. So I have a very strong anchor there, you know, and all I need to do, really, when I need that feeling of winning, of being ready to win, all I need to do is touch that shoulder, and it's there. It's present for me, you know, and it can put me into that feeling again. And so I teach, you know, techniques like that, because they are really simple. Everybody understands them. Everybody can practice them there and then. I mean, all my stuff is very interactive. I want people to not only hear me lecture, I want people to actually try it out, practice it themselves, do it themselves, so that they can take it home, you know, because then they know how to do it.
Right.
And visualizations I find very, very powerful. I do a guided visualization, for instance, where I take people, first of all, we're working on where they want to go with their life and become clear on their purpose and passion here. And then we work, and then I take them to a day in their future, you know, 5 years normally from today, but they can decide for themselves. And I take them to a day in their future, and I make them imagine that perfect day, that ideal day in their life. And I tell you, I get businessmen to cry, and I am so proud of that, you know. I mean, when I do that in a business setting and the men cry, I could just kiss them and hug them, you know, just because I touch them someplace where they don't let themselves be touched that often. And it really goes that deep. These are such simple techniques, but they go so deep. People said to me, I was doing that in Malaysia once, and people came to me afterwards, and two of them were doctors, and they said to me, Barbara, you touched us in a place where nobody has gone before. How did you do that? I said, I don't know. I just speak. Like, I'm not a scripted speaker. You know, I don't have a prepared script when I go on stage. Somehow I feel the energy, and I give them what I think they need on that day. And, yeah, I follow a general idea of what we're going to talk about on the day, obviously. But it's not scripted and, you know, PowerPointed and everything, you know, minute by minute I know what joke I'm going to tell. No, this is all what comes from my heart to and goes directly to their heart. This is why people feel that and why I move people. Because I think that's my explanation for it, that it really comes from soul to soul, you know, from heart to heart, and they feel that it's real.
Right.
And it's not a put-on, it's not something I've studied. Yeah, I have studied it, but for me this is a heartfelt necessity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I would not be on this show, for sure. I mean, an ungodly hour.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. Ms. Yolanda, do you have any last words?
I wanted to tell you and Boyd that I didn't forget about. I've been running around so much this week because I wanted his dad's book, The Power of Mind, and I don't have any running around to do tomorrow, so I am still going to get my book from him also. So
okay.
I just wanted to apologize for... Yeah.
We know your word is good, Ms. Shalami. So that's one thing about that, you done showed us that a million times over. You feel me? So it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I did, and because every time I would leave, I was like, oh gosh, I need to turn around. I was like, well, no, I'll do it tomorrow. And I said, tonight.
Yeah, we know your word, good. You feel me? Yeah, your word is A1 in the Streets Don't Love You Back movement, folks, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, and Robert, and I hope everybody still would get your book, and just make that known on your website, too, that my offer is still good to, if anybody wants the book for free. I don't know why I'm echoing. Let me unplug this thing.
No, either.
Well, I just unplugged it from my computer. Maybe that's what it was. But anybody on your that wants a book for free, if they would email me, if they purchase it, I would send them the money back. And you can still make that offer on your website. Right.
We definitely get all that, Ms. Yolanda, you know?
Yeah.
I can't wait to come to New York this week and we get a chance to meet you in person, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so if anybody wants to order the book, they can get it at our website, thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. And we have the original book, The Streets Don't Love You Back. And then we also have Never Hit a Woman. So get that book, and right now you can get it free. Yolanda's willing to give you back your money.
Amazing.
And
also, Yolanda.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing that when you, I know you're familiar with Jim Rohn, let me take this off the speaker, and all those people, he's one of the things that he always said, that if you want to have more of what you like in your life, help someone else get what they want in life, meaning if you see someone pursuing their dreams, if you're in the position to help them, then help someone with, you know, with and what I learned to give is to genuinely give with love, not because you want something, just because you want to give it. And you'll see everything in your world would open up. Things just kind of fall by the wayside, you know, just because when you get into that spirit of giving, you create, there's a new energy that you're setting forth in your life, too. If you're someone that may be reluctant to give and want to just start giving, you know, give small or whatever, give something away, something that you like, something of value, you know, And watch how your world begins to change, and you can't outgive the universe. Trust me, and that's just one thing. So you cannot outgive the universe. Your source is never empty when you know your source is. So I like to encourage anybody who's stuck somewhere. Giving will get you unstuck quick. Give something you like.
Amen.
You know, if it's a piece of jewelry you hadn't worn for a while, it's pretty and you loved it. Give it to somebody. You know, bless it and give it away, and watch how everything in your world will change, and it'll be better than you even thought, you know. Because we don't live in a place.
Yeah, I agree with that. Most people that, you know, when they give something, they expect something in return, and then they say, oh, this doesn't work, you know, it doesn't work. I didn't get anything back, because they get it, they expect to get it back from the same source. And
right.
I have a coaching client right now that keeps telling me, I'm helping everybody, but nobody helps me. They don't help me. Yeah, you know, that's because you're expecting them to help you. And you're not giving just from the goodness of your heart, because if you are, then you don't worry about it. You know, you don't.
Amen.
You have no expectations, and then things happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Always better to give than receive.
Yeah, and you know, and you have to open your mind to receiving, because sometimes, again, you expect to get it the same way. But if you open your mind, you'll get it. You'll get that and more. You know, and something more if you open your mind to it. And that was something I don't know if you've ever read Catherine Ponder. Catherine Ponder was a lady who actually studied the Bible and the laws of giving, and really put that into a modern language for people. And she had given anybody that was taking a prosperity class at Unity Church, she would send boxes of books to the church and ask them that they're to be given away and not to be sold. And, you know, they were selling books, and we had some in the library, but she would always send every few months, whenever we had classes, she would send, like, several sets of her books in boxes to give away to people, because people had to change their mind. They had, and then when you change your mind, you change your habits. And one of the books that that came to me was Open Your Mind to Receive, because I was a person at one point that would do everything for anybody, whatever they asked me. But then when I needed help, I had a problem asking for help or letting people help me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's sometimes we can block our blessings because we get too independent, or there's some kind of fear there, or whatever it was that kept me from letting people help me. And when I mm-hmm. opened my mind to receiving and started letting people help me wherever, and still, you know, gave, then the more when I needed help, the help, it may not have come from whomever or wherever, but it always came from something that I didn't even plan, that I worked out better if I had sat down and tried to plan it myself. So that's when you open your mind, you can receive better of what you need for yourself, so you don't, when you're in love, you don't get drained. In other words, your energy is not wiped out, you know, when you're in a situation where you, you don't get wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's real talk, Miss Yolanda, you know, because I'm going to tell you a little story before we get off the phone. My cousin, may God rest his soul, my cousin Daryl, you know, who I used to be out in the life with. Even though me and him was out doing wrong, before he had started using and going on the deep end, we used to go places, jump out the car, give people money and all kind of stuff. People asked us who we are, our phone number. We used to be like, we'll just see you later, you know. At that time in our life, we didn't even know we was going to live. Well, I didn't know I was going to live to see no 48 years old. I was just enjoying my life and being Robin Hood, you know. So I know that feeling of giving, you know.
Yeah.
And there's people that I've never seen again. It was just something me and him used to do together. And, you know, when you brought that up, I'm like, wow, I know Cuz up there smiling. But me and him used to get tripped. Yeah, just like that.
Right, and you see how everything, even when things turn out, like, is something there because you have set forth that energy of giving and love.
I gave to people because I wanted them to have it, you know. And didn't want their phone number. Didn't want nothing from me. I just did that because I jumped out the car and you happened to be there at that moment when I was jumping out, you know.
Exactly.
Right, you know,
that's
I have a friend too that every once in a while, when she goes to a drive-thru like McDonald's or whatever, when she gets to the cash register, she'll also pay for the car that's behind her. You know, just to do it, and people don't. They're like, "What? You know, how could somebody just pay for me? They don't even know me, or you know." But she just says, "Pay it forward."
And, you know, we live in a universe that, I tell you, if everybody just one day, you know, when they practice random acts of kindness, if we could just, I mean, even when 10 people did, you can see the ripple effect. That's how you know love is so much stronger than hate, because love is not a force. You see, love is power, and it's the strongest power in the universe. Because when you fill yourself up with love and you love other people, you don't get tired loving other people. When you get in an argument with somebody, you get tired quick. I know I do. I get sleepy. And I was like, I can't believe I forgive myself, you know. And I said, you know, and I may lay down for a minute and build my energy back up and start giving thanks about something or whatever, you know. But you get wiped out quick starting arguing or getting into that kind of energy, you know. Mm-hmm. But when you're in love, just like with Barbara said, she said, now I'm going to stay. I want to stay up, you know, you know, I feel you get so charged. That's why I like getting on here because, you know, when you can see how the universe put people in your life to help reinforce what it, your affirmation, making your life your daily prayer. This is part of my daily prayer, being able to share and to listen to other people's experiences and to see where they've been or gone and to hear them and to see God in every person. And that's what I'm experiencing right now, you know, to experience God in every person, regardless of where they are, because we are so much wonderful than the stories we told ourselves or other people may have told us, you know. And
very true.
And
very
true.
We are so much more powerful than we believe. Mm-hmm. So much more, and so much bigger than we believe. When I see breakthroughs happening, people, I mean, real breakthrough, when they get to the core of themselves, they are first so scared. It's like, oh, no, oh, no, and they're fighting it, you know. And you can see it, you know. You can see it in emotions. You can see it physically, how they're fighting it. And because they can feel something massive is coming, you know, something so big, I've never felt anything like that before. And we fight it because we're afraid. But when they actually break through and let go for a minute, then, you know, wonders happen. I mean, it's, we are so much bigger than we believe we are. Definitely.
Absolutely.
And with that, I think I will love you and leave you for this morning or for this night.
That's right. We thank you so much, Barbara, for coming on our show as a guest and giving us your knowledge. And we wish you the best. And we want everyone to know that Barbara is going to be at the Festival of Enlightenment in Colorado next month. And you can find out more about that at the festivalofenlightenment.com. And it's a 7-day event with 50 guest speakers that are all positive speakers. And if you can make it to that, you know, try to get up there for all of it or part of it. Also, Barbara has a Blog Talk Radio show called The To Be Show. And is that every day, Barbara, or how often?
No, that is just Tuesdays.
Just on Tuesdays.
Just Tuesdays for half an hour. And I normally interview authors that are, you know, writing in a positive way. So normally I have writers on personal development in some way or another, but sometimes we talk about abuse. Sometimes, you know, it depends on who I have on. Quite interesting.
Right.
I also have a YouTube channel, which they can find all of these outlets that I have online on BarbaraHoffmeister.com, because that's just a hub site. It's not my real website. It just gives them all the options where they can find different stuff from me. And also, I would like to offer a special gift to your listeners, because I have a website up that is actually put up there for the festival with some gifts, and that is the first 40 pages of my book. So if anybody's sitting on the fence and thinks that they are not worth the $12.37 that the book costs on Amazon right now, then they can actually go to www.thetobebook.com/festival, and they will come to a website where they can sign up and they will get the first 40 pages of the book. And in that 40 pages already, you will become much, much, much clearer on where you want to take your life. So it's a powerful chapter, that first chapter. And also I give a few of my I'm doing a new project now. It's called Moments to Be, and they are short inspirational messages and techniques and tools, just 1 to 3 minutes of audio. And I'm giving a few of them away, too, because I'm just recording them right now. And so I'm giving the first few away so that people can experience it. And if they like it, they can get more on my blog. Right now, it's all free. I'm collecting them until one day I will make an audiobook out of it.
Awesome.
So, you
Sounds
know, if
wonderful.
Anyone wants to do that, just go there and check it out, and then you make a decision, a more educated decision, if our talk wasn't enough to convince you that it would be good to get the book. And I'm not saying that because I'm making the big bucks from it, really. From Amazon, you know, I make less than $2. So, you know, it's not making me rich at all. But it was written really with the intention of helping people and giving them the tools and techniques that everybody can understand, no matter what background, no matter what age. You know, everybody can understand and follow, if they so choose, of course. It's always a choice, isn't it? So thank you so much for having me on the show and having such wonderful other guests also. Very interesting, a nice conversation to start the day with. Thank you, and stay in touch, and maybe, you know, whoever comes to Colorado to the Festival of Enlightenment, please come and say hi, and, you know, talk to me, get me to sign your book, and take photos or whatever. If you have questions, I'm going to be there the full week. That means, you know, I will be around every single day.
Okay, I'll email you, too. I don't know if your assistant had sent out the book to us or not, but I'll email you the address again.
Please do that, yeah, and it will be my pleasure to send you the book, of course.
Thank you so much. I look forward to reading it. And we just thank you once more for joining us, and we're going to close now. Rob, do you have any last words before we close?
No, I just want to thank Ms. Yolanda. I want to thank Lisa. Thank Ms. Barbara for staying up and delivering her message and spreading her, you know, word across the country. And we're excited about the things that she's doing as well. And we're just encouraging people to go and purchase her book and get the knowledge that she has for you. And we also would like for you to join our movement as well, the Streets Don't Love You Back, .name.com. And you can also purchase both of my books, Never Hit a Woman and The Streets Don't Love You Back. You can either get it in paperback or you can get it on ebook. So we're just thanking everyone who joined in tonight, and we're thanking everyone who always support what we do. And once again, thank you, Ms. Barbara, Yolanda, and Lisa.
Thank you,
everybody. Be blessed. Have a wonderful life, and stay in touch. Bye bye.
Okay, thank you, Barbara.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye. We're gonna go out with a song called "Guide and Protect Us." See you next week. Have a great week.
You too. Thank you so much.
Guide and protect us, Lord. Give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks for your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. The first one I call every day when I wake and pray. Yeah, the one who is there when no one has a care, I say, Lord, you strengthen my soul when my mind wants to go astray. Yeah, and lift me up high when I fall and my ground gives way. Lord, how precious your love and your grace and your counting days. Lord, you show me the light and the dark, now I shall repent. Yeah, with all of my strength I will find bliss in iron fist. Lord, the freedoms of hate and the sea today don't exist. Guide and protect us, Lord, to keep us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword, I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray, give thanks for your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. With enemies close all around, I will call your name, yeah. And slaughter the weak, you quickly with no thought or shame, Lord. For my heart is firm in your hand, so I'm no disgrace, no. I'll hail up your name every day with a smiling face, boy. I never can give enough praise to your tenderness, Lord. Us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword, I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray, give thanks for your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy.
Yeah, we tried the long rocky road.
Uh-huh.
Buffalo soldier fights the power freedom war.
The
last we left on the throne, the conquering disciples from your congregation.
Yeah,
yeah. Collect your security, we build a better nation. Time to strive for unity. Say nothing and fight, nothing and war. But brotherly love can destroy oppression. If we come together, we can conquer all our foes. Live victory eternally. But if we keep on murdering, see so much petty things, we're crumbling our destiny. But we were meant to rule upon the earth and multiply creativity and love, so I will always try to show love and respect until I die. And so I will humble and pray.
Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword, I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray, give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy.